on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1. With Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora and g'day rugby league fans. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show, chatting nothing but hardcore rugby league for the next hour. The Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, is in the house.
Hello, everybody.
And he's joined by the little general, Lucky Luke Robinson.
Good evening, Rob.
Let's see. Leon gives it a little bit of juice. He just, we've got to come up with something.
I'm Yorkshire as well. It will offer at me then.
At you, with you, against you.
I'm not into yo, bro. Don't call anyone bro. They're not my brother. They're my mate, pal. Hey, old pal. That's what
you
said.
Come in with a high energy. Hey, old pal.
There we go.
That's for you next week. Busy show tonight as we discuss the last round of the Super Duper 8, and they have been super duper. I've fallen in love with the new system, as you've probably heard over the last couple of weeks. We'll speak to the head of Rugby League Cares as they announce the National Rugby League Museum will be housed right here in West Yorkshire, and we'll also be discussing a new international research project looking into player health and well-being once they retire. So get ready for a power hour of Rugby League. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show.
The Robbie Hunter Pool Show. News and views.
See, I try to bring it down in the Robbie Hunter Pool Show.
Nice.
Come away from the AOP and big energy and all that sort of stuff. Evening, lads. What a weekend of rugby league it's been. This, I tell you what, results went the game's way. You know, it didn't just go, obviously,
as we say, LFC, RL won this weekend. Rugby league, the game won.
Rugby league won this weekend.
RL never loses. Always wins. Yes.
I remember touring when I was a young fella to Australia, and this Aussie guy gets on the bus with us, and he goes, "All right, listen up, boys. You're going to enjoy your junior tour." And we're all under 16s at the time. And he said, "I'm not sure I can say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Rugby league's like making love. Even when it's bad, it's good."
It's true.
I've just gone back to when I was 16 and thought,
So let's go straight for the jugular, Robbo. Giants needed a finals performance, and that's exactly what they produced against the in-form Leeds Rhinos. Mate, I got to admit, that Wednesday evening when we were here on the show, you were twitching. You were nervous. You had the mad sweats on. Even between the segments on the show, you were very professional on the show as always. I can't say as always, but you were very professional on the show. But between the gaps, you could actually hear it in your voice. I was thinking about you. I was thinking, this guy going to need a man hug. Am I going to have to drive over to Halifax and give him a man hug?
Well, no, look, I'll be honest, it was definitely the forefront of my mind. So what I did is I went home, got my kid's baseball bat. I took it to training next day, threatened a few boys.
Must play.
You've got to win. But do you know what it was?
You're walking around with pictures of your kids and pinning them up everywhere.
Well, it was, because do you know what it is? I said before, didn't I? It's not just them that lose their job. It's the tea lady in the back room. It's the photocopies.
You
kit
were not
man.
Thinking about
no,
the
thinking
tea
about
lady
myself.
Or the kit man. You were thinking about the little family Robinsons.
Yeah, little Tasmanian devils I'm thinking of. but we picked a more experienced side. I think we picked a more balanced side. And it's the best we've looked in ages. But more than anything else, when you're in trouble, you defend your way out. And that's one thing that we haven't done of late. We've always scored points. We haven't been able to defend very well, but we defend extremely well against Leeds. But then again, they wasn't the greatest. I don't know if they took the foot off the gas. I think they're carrying a lot of niggles and a lot of knocks. You know, the likes of Joel Moon being on the bench. He's not on the bench.
He's
if he's
bench
fit,
player.
You put him in.
Never.
No, you don't, do you? There's Never. No... There's no reason for putting him on the bench. So, you know, looking at him on the bench, he probably showed a little bit. They're a little bit broke, but still, it was a really good performance by us.
Strong lead squad. They've got everything to play for. Because they've underperformed, considering they won everything in 2015, they needed to perform in these playoffs. They needed to perform in the qualifiers. They wanted to go through, quite outspokenly, they wanted to go through this competition unbeaten. Look, there's no certainties in it, but they did want to go through this competition unbeaten. But I guess the mentality, the class of player that you have at the Giants, they stood up. Cometh
yeah,
the hour, cometh the man.
I think Lee will beat Leeds this week. I think Lee will win. I think they'll broke the Leeds. They've got loads of players that are really good quality. It was still within that squad. Mm-hmm. But you know what it's like when you've achieved your goal, it is a little bit queuing the rat. Whether, no matter how strong a person and a player you are, you think, thank God.
Leeds Rhinos 2014 post Challenge Cup competition, they could not play rugby league.
Because eventually they got the monkey off the back, and they winning the Challenge
they
Cup.
They would say they put all their eggs into their basket. They wanted to win that game.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that, like I said before, we picked probably our most experienced side for a while, and gets a lot of stick, does Grixie, at the back from our fans, but what he's probably, to the layman, you don't see the things that he does.
No.
He organises a defence, he puts himself in when he needs to, and it's all the little sort of intricacies of the game that, like I said, the layman doesn't see. They just see people scoring 100 metre tries, or, you know.
This is a hard thing to get the balance right, isn't it? Because when you're talking about a successful and winning squad, you're talking about synergy. It's not about having 17 of the greatest athletes on the park. You've got to have 17 of the athletes that complement one another to create the better part of the whole. And that's what that's the type of player, an experienced player like Scott Grix is at the back of the park. I would argue they're also missing an experienced hooker. That would have been you.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Look, nowadays, as you know, Rob, going in there with the donkeys, it's an integral part of the game now, isn't it? And it's pretty much like another halfback. You know, you're leading and directing the side around the field. And, you know,
we talk about the spine of the team, being the two halfbacks, the fullback, which we've just spoken about, and Scott Grix, but also the head to that diamond, is your number nine.
And you know what? And unfortunately for us, it's not Ryan Inchcliffe's fault. He's come over as a loose forward. And he's an extremely good player who's filling in there and doing a job. But, you know, it's tricky at the moment because there's not that many nines out. You know, there's not a lot of brilliant nines.
I mean, no one knew the actual outcome of what was going to be when you were diagnosed. Maybe you did, but no one else knew. So you were that number nine.
Yeah, to be fair, though, we probably panned a little bit for this. You know, Baloo, it wasn't a surprise. My job this year was supposed to be, when the ship got a little bit unsteady, come in, play a couple of games, bring me out again. So they kind of knew Inchy were going to play for a few weeks on the trot, repeatedly at nine. But luckily I didn't. I'd have been playing every week. Wouldn't I have had that bad a year? I'd have been playing 80 minutes every week.
To be honest, you may not have had that bad a year. You know, those certain experienced players, we looked at Leeds Rhinos, losing Sinfield, losing JP, those on-field leaders in the middle of the park, they do a job for you. They glue it all together. And sometimes at those moments where the game could go 50-50, those experienced players glue it all together. Now, talking about experienced players, we've got another player across the room from us, a bit long in the tooth, Leon. What are your thoughts on the diamond and...
I just think I thought I had a good chat with Ian Anderson once when they signed me for Catalan. They were talking about Trent Robinson, and what he does is he signed players for a specific role. So if they were looking for a back rower, he wouldn't just go to say, right, let me sign, I don't know, Gareth Hawk. Gareth Hawk would have to suit the way his system plays.
Yes.
Okay. When he went to sign Endo, he needed a hooker that could run but could count numbers, so he got Endo. When he signed me, he needed an halfback that could play behind Scott Giroux, that could sweep both sides to complement his way of playing. And it just reminds me what Robbo was talking about then. Sometimes coaches go out the market and look for a hooker or a player and get them because they're maybe the cheapest or they sound like they've made their best career. But they don't actually think about where they're going to put them in their team.
And how it will fit into the dynamic.
I remember when Stuart Reardon signed for Warrington, they signed Sullivan, a guy called Sullivan. Now, Sullivan played scrum half all his career. They signed him and played him at nine. It doesn't work. Coaches need to understand that if you sign a player, to get the best out of them for yourself and for themselves and for the team and the squad, it needs to be specific to how you play. If you want a ball handling back row, they sign Steve Menzies. You know, if you want a hard line hitter, you get Lee Gilmore. You get the player specific position. You know, do you get what I mean, though?
Yeah, back in his day.
No, I agree.
So that destroys your. You had a theory in coaching. And yours was, just give me money and I'll just buy the best players.
I'm saying, give me the best. I'll get you the best player that can do that. You want the best
ball
on him back row? You want the best ball on him back row? I'll get you Zeb Taylor. Is that what you want? I'll go get you Zeb Taylor. You know what I mean? You want the best hooker who can run hard? I'll go get you Isaac Luke. You know what I mean? You're getting specific
so
to what you want.
You want
come on.
All the money in the world
yep.
to be able to purchase the best.
Yes.
Ball playing back rower.
Yes, or I want. Not necessarily
the best.
Do
back
I want
rower.
A hooker that can run or one that can organise? If I want one that can run, I'll get Darrell Clark. If I want one that can organise, I'll get Cameron Smith.
What about ones that can do both?
You know what I mean? That's it's a very.
No, I agree. You fit the coach's philosophy on the way that you want to play the game. You know, it's like Lockers at Wigan. They have a loose forward who can ball play.
Exactly.
Do you know, whereas other teams have a loose forward who can literally just cart the ball up and play
a third
like
middle,
an extra
a third prop. That's all we're saying. That's what I'm saying. And so what I'm saying to you then is if you're signing a player that has never played hooker in their career or doesn't play there very much and you're basing your team around him playing hooker, it's kind of your mistake.
Wise words from two very long in the tooth and wise men. All right, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll be delving into that research and we'll be speaking to one of the leads on that research project, Ian Entwistle. So stay with us. All that and more after the break on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, getting down and dirty with all things rugby league. Now, as mentioned before, we are very lucky and very blessed to have one of the lead investigators, who's a PhD student, Ian Entwistle, who's researching, doing some international research or working with some bodies down under and from the rugby world specifically. Project looking into player health and well-being once they retire. Ian, welcome to the studio. We always give a round of applause to our guests.
Good evening.
Ian, you're 36 years of age. You've had a very easy, paper round. You look like you could actually play rugby league. Actually, Leon, he's got a bit of a Nathan McAvoy.
I've been looking at him thinking, I'm sure he looks like Nathan McAvoy since I got here.
That's a compliment. Nathan McAvoy was way too pretty to play rugby league.
He's from near me, wasn't
he? He's from Manchester.
He's a Manchester boy, and you're from Oldham. Yeah.
So
tell us all about the project. Obviously, with myself being a retired player, Robbo retired, and Leon on the cusp, you know, nearly there. All of us former rugby players, long in the tooth. Don't say that. You've just signed a 1-year deal with your hometown team.
I'm only joking. I'm just joking. Come on, man.
You could hear the screams across Bradford as we just said that. Tell us a little about the project and just fill us in.
Yeah, so you mentioned the international nature of the project. What we're doing here, we're studying in this country, we're focusing on the UK rugby players. So we're looking at joining that with information that's been gathered from players down under in New Zealand. So we're working with them and we want to get information from players in this country so that we can contribute to that. But like I say, it's a significant project and it's, we're looking at rugby players, rugby union and rugby league players.
So give us a breakdown on what the full scope of the research and what your outline objectives are, the findings.
Yeah, so the issue is we don't know the impact of the game on the players. So we want to look at the long-term effect of playing the game, for better or worse. So we don't know how those, the career of training and playing, we hope that would come with some benefits. So, for example, we know that rugby players often tend to be bigger, stronger, have more muscle mass than your average person. So, does that continue?
Except for Leon.
Yeah, maybe. Does that continue into retirement? So, we also want to see how have those injuries affected the players. So it's quite controversial. It's quite topical at the minute. Players suffering from concussion and such like. We want to know, does that have an effect in the long term? We want to build up a health picture of what the rugby player looks like into retirement and what kind of impact the game has had on them.
So what sort of testing will you be doing to measure all of this?
Yeah, the study's split into two parts. The first part is we're going to be looking at, we want to get the players in. It's all done online. So we want to do an online questionnaire where we get information from the player's career, their injury history, how well they're getting on in life now, so their lifestyle, the quality of life. And we also want to get them to perform a neurocognitive test. So that's done on the computer as well. So, seeing how their neurocognition is. Following that, we want to get the players in to do some more clinical tests. So we're going to do something called a DEXA scan, which gives us information about the player's bone density, muscle mass. And then we hope to do some balance and posture assessment, something else called TMG, which looks at the nature of the muscle fibres and the muscle quality. And also some strength testing as well to see have they maintained that superior strength from playing, or has that dropped off so that it's more comparable with non-playing.
So who will you be measuring it against? Who will your sample sets be?
Yeah, so there's three main groups really. So we're looking at ex-rugby players from rugby union and rugby league. We're looking at retired athletes from non-contact sports and also people who have never taken part in organised sports in school. So they're the three main groups. So the rugby players will be comparing to the non-contact athletes and the non-sports people.
Now, before you set off to deliver the project, have you got any assumptions of what you expect to find?
Well, I think it's important not to do. The problem we've got and the reason why the project is there in the first place is we have relatively little amount of information on this group of people. So we don't, what effect has those injuries had on the players? So, do those knocks and niggles and fractures and whatever else they suffered from, concussions, have they... The urgency when a player is in the game is to get them well again to play the next game and to get them back on the pitch. But we don't know what impact that has had or what that has going forward. So, maybe it doesn't. Maybe these players into retirement, get along quite fine. So we don't know this, though. And we only hear what people say and we know speculation. But I think it's important because we do know that rugby has quite a high incidence of injury. So it's higher compared to other sports. And, it's important to look at this and to see how we're getting on these days.
It's funny you should say that, because obviously I'm frightened to death of actually watching concussion. Joe, obviously everyone knows the Will Smith thing regarding the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Joe Water once said, he came in at training and said, Robbo, you need to watch that. He describes you. But that's a really, really frightening thought for me, having three young kids and my wife obviously worries about it. Going back, it might be something that you find in your study, you don't. When I'm in a really noisy place, I feel like I'm on an aeroplane where I have to constantly pop my ears. And I'm not sure if it's something through with the head knocks, but I have to pop. So I wrote a charity do on
that's
Friday
not normal.
Night. No, my dad gets it. My dad got hit by a steel plate at work, knocked all his teeth out. He has tetanus all the time now, and he has the same thing. He says when it's a really loud, noisy place, it feels like he's on an air. It feels like I have to. And I said, Dad, I'm the same now. And I've only noticed it this last 6 months. When I'm in a really noisy place, I feel like I constantly have to pop my ears like I'm on an aeroplane. Like it's just not. So if you find something out for me,
yeah,
it'd be nice if you could find that out for me.
Yeah, it's quite...
If it's bad news, he doesn't want to know. Great news and how to fix it. Give Robbo a call.
It's quite an important point that you've made there about not necessarily wanting to know. And I mean, and this is, it depends where you're coming from, really. But I think the important thing is, if you can get the information, it allows you to make the decisions going forward. And so, no one wants to alter how people go about things. But if you know what the impact of something you might be doing is going to have long term, then it puts you in a better position to make those kind of decisions. Mm. But I mean, the thing about the concussion film is another good point, see, because in the film they're looking at the players' brains. Once they've died, weren't they? So they're able to get some.
He doesn't know because he won't watch it.
Well, no.
What I'd let you know, Robbo, is that they die. These players with bad head injuries, they die, and then they chop their brains open and have a look at them. I don't mean to scare you.
Oh, it's not for me.
But wouldn't you have to measure him before he got all the blunt force trauma as well?
Well, I mean, I think the thing with looking at the brain, so it's a difficult area. I mean, this is the problem why there's not, an awful lot of conclusive information out there. So you have this. So they've looked at the brains in the concussion film. They looked at the brains and they looked at them under a microscope and they've seen things. But it's actually very difficult to see in people walking around. The test that we're going to be using to look at the effects of this are going to be symptom-based tests. So in other words, rather than looking at the actual anatomy, if you like, of the brain or something, we're looking more at what are the symptoms they're having, how are they performing, so the outcomes of this. So it's that's where it's.
I'll tell you an injury that's become quite prevalent in rugby, and this is, I think it's been part and parcel with the amount of grappling that's gone on, a lot more wrestling training, a lot more head movement, a lot more neck injuries. There's quite a high, I notice. When we made that transfer to add grappling into training, quite a number of players ended up having to go for discectomies, so the removal of discs between joints. Now, I personally have had two discectomies, and I've had a fusion of my C7 and T1 vertebrae, and I get these horrendous migraines I can feel them come on. They're tension migraines. They've got nothing to do with anything else other than the muscles pulling. But if I'm working at a laptop and I'm slouched over, we've seen this contraption that I put together for a stand-up workstation. I actually, we make fun of it, but I actually put it together because staying upright, staying straight, actually stops the headaches. So it was every day I was working, crouched over after a lifetime of being a professional sportsman, and then I finally get behind a desk, which is what I wanted to do. Finally, I got behind a desk. I hunched over, you know, sort of typing away at the computer. If you melt down into a 1 or 2 hours of work on the computer, I'd feel the pull at the back of my neck. And that was a signal that within half an hour, I'd be out cold. I'd be sort of laid out flat, just can't work. Tension headaches. And I'd like to know whether or not other players that have discectomies and had the fusion, the vertebrae fusion, get similar headaches.
Yeah, similar symptoms. It's quite interesting you've made the point about this one, because one of the things that we'll look at when we get the players in for the clinical testing. So once they've done the online side of things, is we'll be looking at the spines of the players. So because there was a study, we were talking before, Rob, about the other investigator, the lead investigator of the study we're doing, Dr. Karen Hind at the university. She led a study looking at the spines of active players, of current mm-hmm. players, and they found quite a high number of vertebral abnormalities. So what appeared like what vertebral fractures. Now, and this was in current playing staff, and of which, you know, when we're not known. And so what will be interesting is, you know, what are the spines of the retired players look like? And so, like, you just talked about yourself there in your state. So what will the other players look like if the current playing staff have got a high number of abnormalities?
I know, but on a similar lines, like, I've got a bulging disc, so I have pins and needles in my thumb all the time. It never leaves. And I've gone to the club and gone, you know, what can we do? Like, it'll settle down, it'll be fine. I'm like, this is 18 months of pins and needles in my thumb, you know.
You know what? I actually, we're going to come back to this. So stick with us, Ian, please. We're going to take a break now. And when we come back, we'll continue along the same lines. We'll also be covering some of the hot topics in the sport today. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Kia ora, Robbie Hunter-Paul here, and I'm with the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the little General Luke Robinson, and we also have one of the lead investigators, a PhD student, Ian Entwistle, on international research project, looking into player health and well-being once they retire. Now, Ian, I think we had to let Leon tell his sad story, because every player's got a sad story about an injury, especially when you get to, what, 38, well, you're 38,
well,
aren't
I was sat here listening to you two tell your sob stories, and I thought, when can I tell my sob story? Boys,
but, you know, Robbo missed one of the key things. He talked about his amount of knockouts that he had, yeah, and the movie Concussion, but actually you've got an old man's hip.
Oh, yeah.
You've got,
well, do you know
you
what,
can barely
going, back
walk.
To his, going back to his density thing, there was going to be a problem, because I've only got a little.
You're too dense.
I've got a little, yeah. I've only got little hips, and I've got really dense bones, he says, from the amount of training. And they were a bit worried about having to knock a bit of metal down it, because he said, I don't know, I'm basically a dwarf. I'm sure you can say that, but I am. So, yeah, they were worried they were going to try and get something to fit me.
All right.
Yeah.
Leo, come on. So share your story, Leo.
So listening to you nearly start crying about hurting your neck, or listen to Robbo talk a good tell about his neck, and I was willing to let you know that I've hurt my neck too. Okay, is that all right?
So you're part of the neck crew.
I've hurt my neck, and sometimes when I'm at home, I feel like I'm just going to, like, pass out because my neck hurts me that much.
And it makes it even worse with having, what would you say, is a meter long neck? Like a pepperoni stick.
You know when he's sitting on that couch and you're surrounded by bags of crisps, it hurts the neck when he has to reach for those really far pack of Doritos.
Oh, my neck's hurting, man.
So go on, Ian. So what do you need for the project to actually be undertaken to go forward?
So we need as many players as possible, or retired players, should I say, to sign up to the project and initially complete a online questionnaire, and also take part in an online cognitive test. So not too much. Probably take, you know, half an hour each for those things. So and then we can, that will give us a lot of information. So I mean, they can do that. Shall we say where we can do that?
Yeah,
they
go
can
for
do
it.
That at the they go to the university webpage. It's leedsbeckett.ac.uk/UK Rugby Health. So you can do that. You can go to Facebook as well, which is UK Rugby Health. That will get you to the right place.
So we're looking at past amateur and professional players?
Correct, yeah. So we're looking at players of all levels, so from amateur up to international in rugby league and rugby union.
Okay, and also at the same time, can the other two groups also sign up?
Yeah, the other two groups can sign up as well. So that would be retirees from non-contact sports and also people that have never taken part in any organised sport.
Is there any parameters when you say retirees from non-contact sports? You know, you say you have to spend like 15 years as a road runner or 15 years as a swimmer or
No, we can look
cyclist.
At those. We'll find out about that when those players sign up, or retirees, should I say, when they sign up. But yeah, initially the urgency is on getting the ex-rugby players in, and then the ex, you know, we will separate them out into the groups. The only people we don't want is the retirees from other contact sports.
Yep.
So that's where we will sort the people out into the correct groups. But that's, you know, like I say, it's the rugby players that we're interested in, so then we can get the comparator groups down the line.
Well, it's been wonderful having you with us this afternoon, Ian. You're way too pretty for this program. But thank you very much for coming along. Feel free to stick with us. We're only going to talk rugby league for the rest of the rest of the show anyway. So a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, no ladies in here, just a gentleman. If you're at home, you're a lady, you can give a round of applause as well. We'll feel it from here. Okay, Rugby League Rugby League Cares announced yesterday that Bradford will become the host of the National Rugby League Museum, and we are lucky enough to speak to the head of Rugby League Cares, Chris Rostrom, on the launch. And Chris, you were there with us, so tell us a little bit about the launch and the project itself.
Well, yeah, Robbie, we launched the campaign at the end of 2015, actually, to lead the sport in the development of a National Rugby League Museum. There's been some absolutely outstanding work in rugby league in the sports heritage over a number of years, and what we wanted to do was bring all that together. Sadly, we saw the closure of the George Hotel and the heritage exhibition there closed down. So really, we wanted to capture everything that was good in the sport and the sports work around heritage, bring all of the stuff from the Heritage Centre into that. We took that on a Heritage on Tour exhibition, 52,000 people, that exhibition over 18 months. So it really led us and our confidence to say, actually, rugby needs a world-class museum. And we put it out to tender. We asked partners, local authorities to actually bid for the right to host the museum. And we got some outstanding interest. And I'm absolutely delighted to say that Bradford were the top of that. They came through with an absolutely outstanding opportunity for the museum to be based in City Hall, right in the city centre, right in the cultural heart of Bradford, next to the Media Museum and the Alhambra and the Odeon, and everything that's exciting and vibrant about Bradford and that's going on there over the next few years as we lead to the opening of the museum in 2020. So, yeah, what a marvellous opportunity for the sport. We will have a world-class museum in an absolutely iconic building right in the heart of where rugby league thrives. We all know that, you know, Bradford's history with the sport, but right across the sport, people will be able to come and enjoy what will be an outstanding experience for people. So it was absolutely wonderful to be able to make that announcement yesterday. And I have to say that the support we've received right across the game, actually, has been outstanding.
I can only imagine it's been an intensive process. Are you a little bit relieved that it's now done and dusted now? You've now announced it, but actually the real work comes now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we're working with some really experienced partners, which was one of the strengths of Bradford's presentation, really. You know, their museum service is second to none. You know, there's a world UNESCO heritage site in the city. You know, award-winning city parks. There's obviously the Media Museum that I've just mentioned. So there's loads of experience within Bradford Council at delivering absolutely outstanding heritage projects. So we're going to benefit massively from that. There's a real firm commitment from the council to support this. You know, the vision from Bradford Council is to open up City Hall, to make it a public building so the members of the public can rightly feel, I suppose, that it's their building, so they can come in and enjoy that space and benefit from it. So that's a real positive. And together with the council, we've had some really encouraging conversations with funders. So we're feeling really confident, Robbie, that, you know, this time we'll be able to realise what will be a fairly significant project for this, but more importantly, a museum that will benefit everyone.
I think it really will be. It's going to be exciting next 4 years. Obviously, I think 2020 also signals the 125-year anniversary of the game. Was that date chosen specifically?
Yeah, well, in all fairness, what we did was, in sort of project management terms, work back. So we said, realistically, you know, in terms of finding funding, the actual physical development and redevelopment of the building, you know, how long will those things take? And realistically, when can we schedule the opening of the museum? It is a lengthy process. There's a lot of work to do. We're not talking about a small exhibition. We're talking about a medium-sized, world-class museum akin to the top sporting museums in the world. So something for the sport to be really proud of, and those things obviously take time to deliver. So we work back, and actually, it is coincidental that it's the 125th year anniversary of the sport, but actually, what an opportunity to be able to open the doors to the museum, to the public, on that great birthday, I suppose.
Absolutely exciting times ahead. Chris, thank you very much for being with us and sharing your thoughts and the exciting adventure you've been on and are still going on. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, Robbie. Bye.
Take care. Fantastic news for the rugby league community, and exciting to think that we'll be able to get a world-class museum for this sport. I think that's absolutely brilliant. Leon, you're a Bradford lad. The knowledge that Bradford Town Hall will be hosting the National Rugby League Museum, doesn't that give you a sense of pride?
I think it gives us Bradford a massive boost. You know, there's so many times that we sit and read the news, and it's always, in my opinion anyway, a lot of it's negative press. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's always press about things that we don't really want to read about. That, you know, it doesn't paint Bradford in a great light. But this is fantastic for the city. It's brilliant, especially because it's rugby league as well, which is obviously close to our hearts. It's good for the city. It's good for somebody to be invested in something so special into our community. Someone who's going to be close, I can take my kids to look at, and maybe, you know, their kids and your kids, and it's going to be fantastic.
It was quite interesting last night. Someone mentioned, because I was at the launch, and they mentioned that rugby league is the northern sport for this so-called northern powerhouse, because it is the sport that was born in the north. Mm-hmm. It has spent 120 odd years in the north, sort of fostering the growth of the sport here, and the northern powerhouse, the so-called northern powerhouse business sector, this is the sport that it should represent.
Absolutely, massively. And I think we should embrace that as well. I think too many times that we worry about, you know, the growth of rugby union, the growth of, oh, it's only an M62 game. So what? It's
16 million people across M62.
Yeah, we love the game.
What a massive marketplace.
It's a special game as well. You know, I'd say I'm proud to say that we're part of the most exciting sport that you can watch in any sport. I think it's brutal, it's honest, it's exciting, and we should be proud that it's a northern game. So what? Yeah, we're northern people. You know, we don't play much of it down south, but let's enjoy where it is.
All right, we're going to go to another break. Big thank you for everyone that's been on the show so far. When we come back, we'll be discussing the super-duper Super 8, and we'll also discuss the shortlist for the Steve Prescott Man of Steel 2016. All that and more, so stay with us.
Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the RHP show, and we're continuing on with the hottest topics in the sport, as well as looking at the final round of the Super 8s and the start of the playoffs for League 1 and Championship Shield. But hot off the press, Steve Prescott, Man of Steel 2016 shortlist has been announced. That was this afternoon. And it is Gareth Ellis from Hull FC, Danny Helton from Hull FC, and Denny Solomona from Castleford. Look, no surprises there, guys. All players that you hard to argue against.
Yeah, but like we said before, can a muscly touch should win it? Yeah. What do we think?
That was the idea. Danny Helton, I think, Gareth Ellis, as he's shown his class consistently throughout the year. Danny Helton, superhuman, 1,244 tackles.
I'll go listen to this.
78th minute tackle in their Challenge Cup final that won them the game, saved the game.
They are three class players that
and
have played amazing this year. Yeah, but even so, how good has he been? He's been got the record. them three players have been amazing. But when I listened to it, it was like literally like a presidential speech over there for a candidate. Where, when Leon spoke about Gareth Ellis, I actually, when I've watched Gareth Ellis in the past this year, I know games and seasons are sometimes defined by one moment, and Danny Outen, that were his moment, but I just think he's been that consistent as Gareth Ellis.
I think
just repeatedly.
I've played with both of them for the last 2 years, and I've trained with them every single day for the last 2 years. And if somebody has to tell me now, and if my opinion, who would win, I wouldn't be able to split them. If Gaz won, I'd say deserve. If Danny Outen won, I'd say it was deserved. They're both being outstanding, standout players. What Danny Outen's done,
but you got to choose one. What Danny? Stop sitting on the fence. Choose one.
I'm telling you my honest opinion, Robert. Danny Outen has done nothing different to what he's done the last 10 seasons of his career. The difference is this year we've been successful. So he's got the press. We've been to Wembley. We won at Wembley. We've got the press. We've been at top of the league. We've got the press. He's played no different over the last 10 years. But finally, he's got some recognition. So if he got Man of Steel, it'll be deserved for the way he's played for the last 10 years. If Gaz got it, he'd deserve it too.
So go on, choose one.
Do you know what it is? When I watched a game, I told Leon, he came from A, which is the defender at the side of the ruck.
Yeah.
He went and pressured the ball player, passed it out the back. He pressured him, he passed it out the back again. The whole 12 other men on the field weren't making any tackles. Gareth Ellis was running around just banging everybody just by himself.
I've seen him make 28 big hit tackles in a game. Out of 33.
He consistently rocks people's heads. You know, when the head goes whiplash, this will be part of the project that Ian will be undertaking, to how many people get the whiplash.
It's not me out. Well, it's not me out. I've gone into dressing rooms and saying, what's happened? He said, oh, Gareth Ellis has got all
So here. We're talking about Gareth Ellis and Danny Helton. We're not really talking about Denny Solomona. Is it because he's a winger? I mean, we saw Leon, we saw up close and personally. Robbo, you were on the end of his forearm a couple of times. How influential Leslie Vainicolo was. He won games single-handedly for us. He turned games that should never have been won, and yet he never picked up the Man of Steel award. Is that something... Is that something that you're never going to... Is it because they're wingers?
I think it's a bit of a stigma attached to the award. The name itself is Man of Steel. A winger is never going to be really referred to as a Man of Steel, is it? Maybe like when Martin Fire played. Martin Fire must have surely been the top try scorer every time he played, but did he ever get Man of Steel?
No.
Well, there you go. It just says it. It just says wingers are very...
You want to be a
very,
Man of Steel, get in the pack.
Get in the pack. Your wingers
get in the
wingers
back.
Are,
get
I mean,
in
Jamie,
the middle
Lyon,
of the
Jamie
pack.
Lyon did well to win it from centre in 2005, I think it was. But yeah, I think it'd be very rare for a winger to win it.
All right, so to us, it's down to Gareth Ellis and Danny Helton. For me, Gareth Ellis, he's the glue. Kind of anchoring on what Robbo's saying, I've actually watched Hull FC in the capacity of a neutral and just seeing the impact. Actually, when I kind of notice it when he's not there. Your defense
true.
Starts to get bent in the middle of the park
every time,
and starts going back. When he is there, like you said, and you pointed that out to me, I've never seen anyone bang someone so many adjacent tackles. You
it's
know,
true. It's true.
Bang him on the first one, get up, got the energy to bang him again on the second time, and get up in third and fourth tackle, and actually not just tackle. You know, most people just after the first two tackles, you're running out of energy, and you're just trying to get them to the ground. He's still whacking people, and I think that for me, it stops the momentum of the opposition, and it has a massive impact on those players around him. So for me, Gareth is just
fair.
Pipping
That's
the
fine.
Other two
and
for
I,
me.
And I 100% agree with you.
Oh, so Leon's chosen. He's chosen
no,
one.
No, I do. I just said if either of them win, I'd be happy, honestly.
Actually, just on Danny Helton, though, he's not considering Scotland. But actually, under the new Rugby League International Federation rules, he can name a second-tier country. So as we spoke about it last week, there's a five-year, you have to play for a country, in a country for 5 years before you can claim residency. On the residency rules change from 3 to 5. What you can do now is name two teams. You can name one of the big three, because those are the three countries that they're playing professional rugby in, Australia, England, and New Zealand. And you can also name a second tier. So those are new rules that have come in. So Danny Helton actually could align himself with Scotland if he was unlucky to be chosen for England.
Well, to be fair, we are blessed in that position.
Yes.
That is one position that we are blessed in.
We were talking about Josh
really
Hodgson not being available last week. Well, he got off the injury bench this week and played with terrible ligament problems, but he helped the Canberra Raiders set up a victory over Penrith in their final eliminator match. So, I mean, all over the world, rugby league is really heating up at this point in time. So they'll be playing Melbourne Storm. Well, Canberra Raiders, all Leon's mates at the Canberra Raiders.
Come on, boys. Come on, Green Machine. Green Machine.
The other one is North Queensland against Cronulla Sharks. I know if I was Canberra, I'd rather play North Queensland or Cronulla. Melbourne look hot at the moment. They look real hot at the moment, so I'd rather play those other two.
They're getting a lot of grief out there for slowing the ruck and being grubby, but do you know what?
That's Melbourne,
aren't
they?
That's why they're so good.
So just on there, North Queensland, they had a overtime game against Brisbane Broncos that was highly emotional, a lot of juice taken out of them. That would be my favourites to play coming into this round because of the intensity of that game. It was an absolutely brilliant game as well. I've watched way too much rugby league this weekend. You can never watch enough. Okay, so let's look forward to the final round of the Super 8s. Oh, some amazing games. Look, it starts with on Thursday night with Leeds against Lee Centurions. And Robbo, you've already called it. You think Lee Centurions are going to continue on with the momentum that they've had thus far. And Leeds Rhinos have basically, they've secured their position. They're comfortable. They know where they're going to be next year. They can start rebuilding. Do you think they put their cue in the rack?
No, I think Lee in the exact same position as them. But I just feel like when you look at the amount of players that are still sat on the sideline for Leeds, you know, Danny Maguire out, Rob Burrows went off. I think Galloway snapped his Achilles. Somebody else did a knee. They just seem to have a lot of bodies sat on the bench at the end of the game. And it's not the quality or the mindset of Leeds, because at the end of the day, they're champion team and they're winners. When I just looked to the sideline and saw that many good players sat on the sidelines, they looked a little bit busted.
So that'll be interesting. Thursday night, we'll be able to watch that on the box. The following night is the real game, though. This is, again, we saw this is the replay of the Challenge Cup final. Warrington Wolves versus Hull FC. Both teams are sitting on top of the pile. Whoever wins this game wins the League Leaders' Shield. Hull FC have quite publicly said they would like to pick up all three. They'd like to do that at their first run. Leon, how's the camp at this point in time?
Very good. Radders were in the right mood Monday. Do you remember when Nobby used to get, when we used to play Saints?
The pressure.
Remember? Before we had a game against Millwall.
No, I'm not saying anything against Nobby.
Nobby, you come in and Nobby would be like, you know what I mean? Nobby would be like,
it's only human at the end of the day.
And you
were
like, Millwall's got underneath his skin again. Well, we come in to training on Monday and Radders were a bit like, catch the ball. Like, bloody hell, who's there? Who's tickled him? But yeah, it's been good. The rest of the week's been good. We had some good atmosphere, good vibes, good training. The interesting thing is now it's wet weather rugby. We train on Tuesday. It was really, really wet. I think that the weather now is going to start changing as we get to October, late September, early October. It's going to be wet weather rugby. We've been working on a skill, catch, grip. And I think the team that, you know, controls the ball best and does the best kick chase, the best kicking game, will start winning these games.
And you're at home.
And we're at home.
And so that's a big advantage. You, Robbo, we're running out of time, but I want to talk about your game. Massive game, Hull KR versus Huddersfield. You guys are travelling over there. This is a do or die situation. Well, not die, but this is, in your mindset, it's got to be a do or die. You want to secure your Super League position. You got some momentum on the back of that win against Leeds. How are the boys faring for this game?
Forget Warrington and all. This is the game.
Forget about the top eights.
Forget about that.
This is what Super this is qualifies what is what this it's is all about. Qualifiers. This is survival.
It is, man.
You know that they're playing for glory. This is survival. Yeah. This is about the tea lady.
This is playing for your kids. This is playing for your mortgage. This is playing for everything. Do you know what? It isn't do or die because whoever loses this weekend gets another shot. You know, home to Salford, but let's
you
be
don't
fair,
want the other shot.
Nobody
you don't
want it.
That's
wants
a
to
mad
that
week. That's a mad week.
I spoke to the Wakefield boys that were in that position last year. They said it was their worst week of their life. The worst week.
It was the worst week of my life with the Bradford Bulls, and I wasn't even playing.
Yeah, we want to go up there, knock JP about a bit, get a win, get out of there.
They've got the JP stuff. What do you think he's going to step up, Leon?
I think
he's stepping up, isn't he?
I think it'll be a right game, but I think Huddersfield will win.
Do you?
Yeah.
Away team advantage.
I'm just saying, if you can beat Leeds at home, you can beat Hull KR away. So I've just got the feeling the confidence is going to be up. They've changed the team around. Robbo's gone in and given them a big dressing down. Yeah. They're up for it.
Okay, quickly, just pick Bulls versus Dewsbury, semi-finals of the Championship Shield.
Bulls.
I'm there as guest speaker, so Bulls.
Halifax play Sheffield at home.
Oh,
Halifax.
All right, big thanks for you all listening wherever you are tonight. If you want to listen again, we'll upload the show on the website, pulse1.co.uk/RHP show in about 10 minutes. I'm Robbie Unzipal. Thanks again. Enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby.
Wednesday evening from 6.